Good morning. I pray that you're all doing well, and I'm very thankful for you joining us this morning. As people with jobs and families, spouses, children, grandchildren, pets, and beyond, we have many responsibilities every single day. And sometimes what is required of us, or sometimes what is socially expected of us, or sometimes maybe just what we desire, what we want to do, can make us lose focus on what truly matters at times. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll get there in just a moment. I want us to think about, before we get into it, about driving and the dangers of it. I know it may seem a little abnormal to think about this, but just bear with me. Every single day, in the United States alone, on average, 9 people die due to distracted driving accidents, with over 1,000 people injured. That's just every day in the U.S. alone. Distractions are dangerous on the roadways. Phones have become one of the biggest distractions drivers deal with today. Now, if police officers see you with it, you get ticketed, and rightfully so, because it is truly dangerous. But other things are distracting when driving. Adjusting the radio, the climate controls, or if you ever get like that one fly that like gets inside the cabin and is buzzing around, and you try to like roll down the window to get it and like try and shoo it out, you know what I'm talking about? Other drivers around us, we start focusing on what somebody is doing. They may veer over into our lane. We start getting confused. Why are they doing that? Cars stopped over on the side of the road and passengers getting out and talking, and even passengers in our own car. All of those things can distract us. Driving can be a dangerous thing if we let ourselves get distracted, but if we're focused, we can get to our destination on time and safely. Likewise, in our walk with Christ, distractions often get in the way a lot. Temptations, desires, and opportunities, jobs, families, and all those responsibilities and those social expectations that others expect from us can often get in the way of the improvement of our faith. And I want to look at a time that happened in Luke chapter 10. I want us to observe, number one, the distracted Martha. The distracted Martha. Go down to verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Luke 10:38, beginning, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village," that being Christ, "and a certain woman named Martha received him," Christ, "into her home." You see, as Jesus was traveling, he comes to Bethany near Jerusalem, and Martha invited Jesus into her house. And this kind of hospitality is something that is most certainly commendable, and it's something that we've seen many examples of before. We've talked about in our class at great length back in Genesis chapter 18 with Abram and Sarai and the angels that came in and they showed hospitality to. And then also in Genesis 19 with Lot, he also invites in those same angels. And then later on in Leviticus 19:33-34, it was commanded that the Jews should be people who are welcoming to foreigners, to strangers, to treat them like one of their own. And so many times after that command, God's people would show kindness to more strangers than ever before. Continuing on in Luke chapter 10. In Luke 10, the beginning of verse 40, you will see that it says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving." And we'll stop right there. We'll get to the rest of the verse in but a moment. "She became distracted by much serving," verse 40 says. You see, it is an honor to have people over to our houses. A stranger, even more so somebody of high regard and prestige. In that time, it would have been a king, a ruler, a general of some sort. But how much greater would it be to have the blessing and the ability to welcome in the Savior of this world, the King of all kings, into our house, into our living room, have an opportunity to speak with him personally, serve him food, and so much more. How great of a blessing that would have been for Martha to be able to invite Christ into her house. Now the question must be asked, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. What serving was Martha doing? Now, if we're going to go by basic rules of hospitality based out of Genesis 18 and use Genesis 18 as something to go by, we'll see a little bit of what Martha might be doing. When the guests were seen, the host ran to meet them and then bowed themselves in humility, back in Genesis 18, verse 2. And then continuing on in Genesis 18, then pleaded that the guests, these strangers, these foreigners, these people that Abraham and Sarah had no clue who they were, that they would stay with them in verse 3. And then in verse 4, water was fetched to go and wash the feet of these complete strangers. They've been traveling for a while. They wanted to make them feel clean and welcomed in their house. And then verses 5 and 6, bread was made for these people. And then verses 7 through 8, veal was cooked, and milk and butter were provided. And then Abraham and Sarah, throughout this whole thing, rushed and went to great length to make their guests feel welcomed in a situation they've never been in before, and that they would be safe. So it would probably be pretty safe to assume that Martha may have been doing something similar. Maybe not doing every single one of those things, but maybe preparing a meal for Christ. Maybe using some of her best ingredients to make Jesus feel welcomed in her house and treated as an honored guest. Naturally, she probably would have been overloaded with some of the work, and so she comes to Christ in the second part of verse 40 and says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me." You see, Jesus, after being asked to send Mary in to help Martha cook whatever this meal was, he says in Luke 10:41, that next verse down below, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things." You see, he says this sympathetically. As he used her name twice, it shows a bit of compassion along with it, because he understands what Martha has done, and she has been doing this out of love and respect and honor for her guest, Christ. Martha focused on the physical needs of others, which is, don't get me wrong, a kind and caring thing to do that is noble, but she was rebuked for it. Let's look at now number 2, the focused Mary. The focused Mary. Go back just a few verses. Luke 10:39. While Martha was over preparing, when she was cumbered about with much serving, while she was cooking up whatever this meal was, look at what Mary was doing. Luke 10:39. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You see, she had a choice to make. Mary could have chosen to take care of the physical needs of others, of Christ, and go and help Martha to prepare whatever this meal was to make him feel welcomed, or she could focus on taking care of her own spiritual needs. Now, which of these two things is better? Was it better to be selfless like Martha and prepare this meal for her guest, or is it better to be selfish like Mary and take care of herself? We'll get back to that question in but a moment. And then go down just a few more verses, back to verse 42 of Luke 10. After Jesus told Martha she is being anxious about many things, he says, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You see, there is some question over what this one thing is, quote unquote. What exactly does he mean? This is in the context of seemingly cooking, serving of some sort over in a kitchen. So does he mean only one loaf of bread is needed? Only one steak? Only one preparation of veal? What is that one thing? But if that one thing was food, Martha wouldn't have needed help. She would have been more than capable of taking care of just one item of food with no problem. But in verse 39, she sat at his feet and heard his word, that person being Mary. And then in verse 42, it says, whatever this one thing is, it is something that cannot be taken away from her. So most likely and most logically, the one better thing that Mary and Martha both needed, but only Mary had in this instance, was selfishness. Mary was selfish, and Martha was rebuked for being selfless. You see, when Christ came and taught, his teaching was revolutionary. It went against all the social norms, and now he's gone and done it again. You see, in that culture, if you were to be selfish in this sort of instance, it was to be rude to your guest. But selfishness is necessary when it comes to dealing with our own salvation. How could we ever help somebody else if we don't make sure our souls are taken care of first and foremost? Not that other people are less important, but how are the blind going to lead the blind? How are the lost going to lead the lost to salvation? You see, salvation was something that could not be taken away from Mary by Martha, or by the Romans, or by the Jews of the time, by the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, or any others. It is an inalienable right and possession guaranteed by Christ Jesus, the Son of God, and by the grace and mercy of God has been given to all of mankind, to those who will believe and those who will obey. You see, the words of Christ themselves are a blessing. The words of Christ, when believed, lead to everlasting life, John 4:14 and John 5:24. Martha didn't seem to know about salvation at this time. She didn't seem to know about how great the teaching of Christ was, because where was she when Christ was teaching? She was cooking a meal. Because she was in the kitchen while Mary was being told about salvation. But thankfully, this is a story that doesn't end there. In John 11:24-27, Martha here confesses that she believes in the resurrection of the dead, and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who is in the flesh. You see, she may not have known about who Christ was or what salvation was and all the ins and outs of Christianity to come, but in John 11:24-27, she did. So maybe after she was rebuked by Christ, she was sat down and taught the things that Mary had heard while she was off cooking. Mary was selfish because she knew that her soul was more important than somebody else's food being prepared. And Martha was rebuked for not listening to the words of Christ and being selfish like Mary. So may we be selfish so that we make sure that our faith stands strong, but may we also be selfless to help the needs of others. You see, there are lessons to be learned from both Mary and Martha, but Mary chose the better half. So are we distracted by helping others, by doing what we want to do, by doing what is expected of us, by taking care of our responsibilities that have been placed on us or those that we have taken upon ourselves, so much so that we have lost focus of what truly matters? Have we forgotten about our own faith? Have we neglected it at all? You see, in the church, this is something that is very common to happen, especially with people who are generous. Martha was kind and sweet and generous, and she was doing all that she could to help out and help and serve others, but her faith in this instance was neglected. In an instance where she could have been growing and learning more about the kingdom, she was focused on taking care of physical needs. You see, Jesus warned against allowing life to come before our service to the Lord. In Matthew 10:38 and in Matthew 12:46-50, he warns us that family should not and cannot get in our way to service of the Lord. But don't get him wrong, family is important, but nowhere near as important as God. Luke 14, 16 through 24, work cannot come before God, nor money or, again, family. You see, brethren, cares and anxieties and the troubles of life can render us unfruitful. We see that in Luke 8, 14, when talking about the parable of the sower, and how the seeds that fell on the thorny ground, when they heard it, they go forth and they were choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Those seeds brought no fruit to perfection. You see, life can choke out the word of God. The distractions of life distract us, make us lose focus of Christ and what truly matters. We need to always remember that busyness does not, will not, and cannot, in and of itself, equal fruitfulness in Christian living. Just because we are busy does not mean we are fruitful to the works of God. Let us be careful, and may we stay focused on God's word and seek it out. We live in a very blessed time. That may seem sort of contradictory to say, in a time where there is a global pandemic causing many problems, lives being lost, food becoming scarce, us having to quarantine ourselves and distance ourselves from our loved ones, but think about how blessed we still are. Think about the blessing that is technology. You know, technology gets a bad rep a lot. The harm it does, how it distracts people a lot, you know, how we've been talking about, how with drivers, phones are now the number one distraction. But think about how great of a blessing computers and internet is. During a time of quarantine and social distancing, and with this global pandemic, you know what preachers around the world have been doing? They've been uploading their sermons to websites, doing Facebook Live Bible studies, having podcasts and having sermons and classes, blogs and articles, and many other amazing things. Gospel meetings are now being held online, virtual gospel meetings being held almost every week, being live streamed for everybody to be able to see. None of that would be possible without the advancement in technology. We are so blessed in a time where we can go onto Facebook, and at least for mine, almost every inch of Facebook is plastered with fantastic content from brethren around the world. We live in a time where we have a great opportunity, while we're inside, to be able to access the mind of God in many different forms. Whether it be listening to those classes or sermons or podcasts, reading those blogs and articles, attending those virtual gospel meetings, whatever it may be, we have a time where we can focus and dedicate ourselves to learning more about God, who He is, and what He wants from us. It is a distracting time now with this virus, but we all have our Bibles at home. Or if you don't have a Bible, please reach out and contact me, and I'll be more than glad to get you one as soon as possible. But we have computers that we can listen to these wonderful things. We have phones that we can access the same content no matter where we are. Wonderful things that we can spend time listening to and reading that is able to bless our souls, increase our faith, and straighten our walk with Christ and make us focus on what most truly matters. So are we living while distracted, causing danger to our souls and those around us? Or are we focused on the better part, like Mary, that has chosen the better part that cannot be taken away? I pray that this lesson has been beneficial. I hope that it has made us all think, whether it be if we are distracted like Martha or if we are focused like Mary. But I hope that it will make us think about at least one thing. If Judgment Day was today or tomorrow, we know that it will come like a thief in the night. If judgment were to come, would we receive the commendation like Mary that we have chosen what was better, or would we receive a rebuke like Martha that we were distracted by doing good. I hope that you have a blessed day, and I hope to see you all again very soon. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that you stay safe as well. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.